And now it's time for the Talk of the Nation opinion page. A statue of Martin Luther King Jr. will be placed on the National Mall here in Washington, D.C., but not without controversy. The U.S. Commission of Fine Arts complained about the design by Chinese sculptor Lei Yijin. The social realist style, it said, recalls a genre of political sculpture that's recently been pulled down in other countries. The letter also said it made King look too confrontational. Harry Johnson, the president of King's National Memorial, has asked the statue be redesigned. In an opinion piece for The Root called A Stone-Faced Lie on the Mall, Ibram Rogers says that would water down both the man and the meaning of his message. This is a story about how our heroes are portrayed and why it matters. You can see a picture of the statue design on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. What image of Dr. King is appropriate for the National Mall? Who gets to decide? 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Ibram Rogers is a doctoral student in African-American studies at Temple University. His op-ed in The Root is called A Stone-Faced Lie on the Mall. He joins us now from the studios of Audio Post in Philadelphia. Very nice to have you on the program today.
Thank you for having me. It's
and
a pleasure.
Describe the design that you saw, the original design, and what you liked about it.
Well, the design, of course, had King folding his arms. He had a very stern look on his face, and he was glaring, I guess, at the viewer. His mouth was, you know, together. And essentially, to me, he looked, you know, confrontational. And, you know, I argue in my piece that, you know, King, you know, if there's anything that King was, it was confrontational. If you ask all of the people who he confronted during his movement, I think that they would, you know, say that he was confrontational. And, you know, the commission arguing that, you know, this statue, you know, is not suitable, to me, is just preposterous. I mean, I think that, you know, that assessment, you know, is at best, to me, a reflection of historical ignorance, as I write in my piece, or at worst, is part of a larger societal effort to sort of distort King's legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just personally think that, you know, any image of King, a permanent image of King that's going to be 28 feet in Washington, D.C., should look confrontational.
Should look confrontational. The picture from which the statue is taken, he doesn't look that confrontational. It's a little bit more philosophical. Of course, you don't need to stay true to the picture either.
No, you don't. But, you know, again, I mean, King was an activist. Before he was anything else, he was an activist. He was a Christian preacher who was an activist. And to me, an activist is by nature confrontational. And I don't think anybody would argue that King was not an activist. King was an activist just like George Washington was an activist. And George Washington confronted Great Britain just like King confronted America. So to me, you know, this is very, very important in terms of, you know, displaying King's legacy that he looks, you know, confrontational. As I stated in my piece, he confronted Montgomery, Birmingham. He was very, very specifically during the last couple of years of his life, interested with poverty. And, you know, two of the reasons why I argue that he should look confrontational is because, or he should look not happy, you know, with America, is because to me, he wouldn't be happy with America right now. He was interested in poverty, and the poverty rates, or really the number of Americans living in poverty, you know, has not changed much. In the late 1960s, it was about 39 million Americans living in poverty. The recent statistics by the U.S. Census Bureau report, that's still about 36.5 million Americans. So
but fair enough to say there are many more Americans now than there were then.
Oh, of course. But I think that would be too many for King.
Let's see if we can get some listeners in on this conversation. We're talking with Ibram Rogers about the statue of Martin Luther King that's to be erected on the Mall here in Washington, D.C. If you'd like to join the conversation, 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. Let's begin with Maureen. Maureen with us from Middleburg in Ohio.
Hi. Hi, Mr. Rogers. Hi, Neil.
Hi.
I saw the photograph of the statue in the New York Times before I read the article. I didn't even get the blurb of what the argument was about, and I thought, boy, that looks stern. You know, I was taken aback by it. And I suppose I understand what you mean by saying he's confrontational in the issues that he wanted to deal with. But as generations succeed, they will not be eyewitnesses any longer, but they will be people who hear the story. And you might want a different image for that, because it's going to be fixed in granite forever. And as people look at it, the image itself will take over their interpretation. You know what I mean? I think, yes. I was thinking, well, what would you replace it with as you guys were talking? And I thought, I don't know. But he looked like he was looking down and giving an ultimatum. And I know maybe the bottom line, that's what he was doing. But if you remember, he takes everything from Gandhi and much of his nonviolent style. It might be better to find a different look, so that the look puts in the sweetness and the bravery of the man, and not so much the confrontation. We all know he confronted, but he looks like he was, let's get down to business here, people. And I don't think that's what he should look like somehow.
Extending through the years, even if you're right, Ibram Rogers, that Martin Luther King would be unhappy with America today, that's not to say 20, 50, 100 years from now it would be the same.
Well, I think, you know, when you think of King's legacy, to me you think of somebody who is extremely spiritual and also someone who's extremely rational. And I think, you know, as he stated once, you know, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, that to him, you know, if there's any injustice 50 years from now, that this 28-foot statue should speak to people to try to, you know, eliminate that. And I'm not sure whether there's going to be injustice, you know, in America and in the world 50 years from now. But I do know that there is injustice now. And I know that, you know, King would want to move those people, would want to move Americans to sort of, you know, sort of confront, you know, those injustices.
May I say something?
Go ahead, Beth.
The statue then will represent the philosophy, and the man will no longer be present. You know what I mean? The statue will transcend the man and become the philosophy. I understand that. But it might have to do with the face. If you elevated the chin a little bit and just put the eyes upward, it might look different than if you had him looking down with that posture. But it's going to end up doing two things. It's either going to eclipse King personally and represent the philosophy that we all would like it to be, or it's going to represent King and have the philosophy implied. You know what I mean?
Yes. And okay. I think I just say very quickly that to me, a person is their philosophy. Like, that's what undergirds King. I'm sure you have a philosophy that drives every other thought that you have. And to me, King's philosophy should be, you know,
sure,
displayed through this.
I hear you, but if you put it in stone and moment to moment to moment, I might feel one way. If you fix me that one way in stone forever, then my philosophy is defined by that moment rather than the complexity that he was. I'm sure he got mad. I'm sure he felt like crossing his arms and looking down at people like a stern father. But I never saw him do it. And I'm a contemporary. I never saw that happen.
All right, Maureen. I just want to give some other callers a chance.
Sure, thank you.
Okay, thanks very much for the call. Let's see if we can go now to, this is Mark. Mark with us from Minneapolis.
Oh, hi. I also am an older person, so I remember Martin Luther King. I remember the impact he had. He was a loving Christian who confronted people with great moral authority. He never appeared to be stern or angry, but he always had a great moral presence. And that statue, which I've seen pictures of, looks like a statue of Mao or Joe Stalin. I think it's a grave injustice to the man. And I understand your the guest you have on and his feeling about his being confrontational. But it was the way in which he was confrontational, you know, very much like Gandhi. He basically held the country to account for its moral failings, and he did that in a way that really didn't allow people to get purchase on him, because he always did it in such a forthright, moral, and loving way. I mean, he was almost the ideal Christian.
It seems to me we all remember Martin Luther King differently. I guess we all remember the man that we saw, the man that connected with us. As a younger person, I wonder, Ibram Rogers, you would like to see him the way you see this statue originally?
Exactly. I'm younger, so I wasn't able to experience King in the way in which some of the older callers have. I've learned King through reading of history. And to me, history speaks of a king who is similar to a lot of mothers and fathers all over the world who, when their children do something wrong, you know, and this is what this statue, you know, appears like it does to me. When their children does something wrong, they just look at them, fold their arms, and they give them this stern look. And as a child, you know, I knew, you know, what I did wrong.
Yeah.
I knew that I had to change. And to me, that's what King is doing in the original statue.
Mark,
he's looking at us and telling us we have to change.
Mark, thanks very much for the call. And Ibram Rogers, thank you very much for your time today.
All right. Thank you, Neil.
Ibram Rogers joined us from Philadelphia. Tomorrow, advice on the job market, plus Michael Douglas will join us.